conference record has joined the conference.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Oracle Database Appliance Reference Forum with Pio Matkowicz, Vice President, Technology and Product at Interactive One. My name is Charlotte Momich. I'm Senior Business Development Manager for Oracle Database Appliance, and I'll be moderating today's call. The format for today will be fairly informal. Pio will give an overview of his involvement with the Oracle Database Appliance at Interactive One. And following his overview, we will open lines for questions and answers. Today's call will be recorded, so all lines are currently on mute, and I'll provide instructions on how to unmute your lines following for the Q&A session. So let's begin. Welcome, Pio, and thank you for hosting today's call. We have over 20 customers registered, so there's a lot of interest in what you have to say today. Welcome, and if you can, please begin your overview.
Hello, everyone. Let's see. Well, we started in February. We were looking to refresh our hardware that serves our system, and, you know, by our system, I mean a collection of social networks. These are niche social networks that, you know, that we run and operate. And so, you know, just to give you some background, the typical load case is all TP versus warehouse type queries. So a lot of small, but, you know, smaller queries, but a lot of them. So, you know, uptime and sort of the performance of the platform is crucial for us. So, you know, back in the beginning of the year, we were looking at refreshing our hardware, because, you know, it was a few years old and we were running into some, you know, challenges with, maintenance of that and you know, dealing with sort of, an array of different vendors to support that hardware. So we had, you know, three, four different vendors actually. You know, one for the storage array, the other one for the fiber switches, and then the hosts themselves were Dell. So, you know, Oracle sort of looked and pitched us the ODA, the Oracle Database Appliance. At first, it didn't look like it's going to be a viable option for us because the pricing seems to have been quite high, but then once we realized that, you know, we would only be paying for hardware because we had enough software licenses to cover our needs, then, you know, the pricing became sort of much, much better from our point of view. So we purchased first ODA. We tested it out. Essentially, we started migrating parts of the system, parts of the platform onto the first ODA. We were pleased with the performance, you know, with stability of the product, and we purchased another one and migrated the remaining parts of the system. So, you know, at this point, we have two ODAs running, serving around 20 million, you know, queries a day. So that's quite a volume of queries that we're seeing. I don't know, Charlotte, do you want me to go into other specifics?
Could you talk a little bit about how you're using the database appliances?
Yeah, so you know, we've partitioned them. We essentially, you know, because before we migrated from, you know, single host and rack environment onto the ODAs, and we, you know, they're configurable so that you can, you know, you can configure the amount of CPUs on each ODA. So you know, our needs for performance, CPU and IO were quite high, so we configured them for full performance, 24 cores, and configured and set up as a very large database. You know, as far as the actual setup of the ODAs, once you get the networking set up and you sort of are ready to put the ODA in place, you know, setting up the ODA itself is fairly easy process. So we configured them in a very large database configuration, and used Datapump to migrate data onto the ODAs. Obviously, that process of migrating data took us several weeks, actually several months, because that's the step where you have to, you sort of deal with the data that you have, and you have to make sure, our application needs to stay online 24/7. So we really, and any downtime, whether it's scheduled or not, costs money. So we really approached that from the perspective of trying to minimize downtime even during the migration process. So we actually did not have any downtime while we were migrating data, and so that contributed to the fact that it took us quite some time to migrate onto the ODA. So.
And how is performance now, Pia?
We've definitely seen improvement. There's no doubt about it. The box itself is sort of, we haven't hit the threshold yet as far as, the load. So the IOs per second are definitely better than what we were seeing on our storage arrays. Now, that's also because we were moving from an older storage array and they might have not been configured correctly. But, whatever the reason is, we're definitely seeing improved performance on the ODAs. So, that obviously contributed to the fact that we bought the second one and we decided to migrate all of our platform onto the ODAs.
Excellent. Well, that's great. Thank you so much. I think that with that, we can begin opening the lines for questions. If you do wish to ask a question, please hit *6.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello, my name is Fred Mortensen, and I'm a database administrator for a company called Microchip Technology in Chandler, Arizona. I'm quite unfamiliar with ODA. I just thought I'd drop in and kind of see a little bit about what it was all about. So you talked about coming from a rack environment. Can I assume that you were in rack in your Dell environment before you went to ODA?
Yep. So essentially, we had a mixed environment. We had an environment where we had part of the application was running on rack, and so we had a rack environment with three nodes, three Dell hosts connecting to a shared storage. A three-bar storage array, and so that part of the application was set up in the rack environment, and then we had a separate pieces of application, all part of the same application, but just the different data sets that were being served by single hosts. So all of that we migrated onto the ODA, and because uptime is so important for us, you have the option to configure the ODA in many different sort of setups, because it's two fully redundant nodes. You can either set it up so that only one node is used and then the other one is a hot standby, or you can set it up in a rack scenario so that the two nodes are rack active. So that's essentially what we have, because in the scenario we have right now, even if one of the nodes on the ODA fails, the other node can still take the traffic and for that exact reason also, we haven't utilized the ODA up to its full potential, because we do want to be able to still maintain a level of service even if one of the nodes on the ODA goes down. So if we lose half of our processing power, we can still function and we can still return results in, you know, in acceptable time.
Sure. You talked a little bit about IOs per second being
Yep.
You're getting more throughput on the new system than the old system. Can you give us a feeling numerically how that differed?
So, the three-part array that we had before with the rack setup, we were seeing upwards of 300 IOs per second. And again, you know, what were the limitations, or where did the limitations live? You know, there were many different sort of pieces of hardware that went into it. With the ODA right now, we're seeing, you know, I've seen 2,000 IOs per second. And again, I don't think we're hitting the actual hardware thresholds right now. For the reason, as I described earlier, is that we do not actually want that. You know, our application is an OLTP application where there is no sort of, you know, warehouse type workloads where we just throw things at it and you know, make it process it as quickly as possible. It's an OLTP application, so as the query come in, it has to be executed, small queries. So I'm seeing, you know, upwards of 1,000, 2,000 IOs per second. But again, I don't think we're actually hitting the limits of the hardware.
That's good. Can you share with me a little bit about what you're using to measure IO per second?
I'm looking at I'm looking at OEM stats. We've got the EM12C configured and the monitoring agents on each ODA. So I'm looking at the performance stats of the ODA in EM.
Okay, very good. You talked about the initial price looking kind of challenging, and then realizing that you had the licenses you needed, which helped from a financial standpoint. Can you talk about that in a little more detail for us?
Yeah, sure. So essentially, you know, what I was saying is the way I think Oracle advertises it on their website is, hey, it costs whatever $1 million because they're sort of, you know, they're assuming that you're going to be buying licenses with it. Because we were migrating hardware and we were moving off of our old hardware, you know, we were made aware quickly that we can reuse our licenses as long as we obviously move away from the older hardware. So, you know, at this point, we're actually, you know, we actually have more license than we need because of the, because of the performance. We basically have now the system running on two ODAs, so that's, 24 cores. Well, it's 24 cores, but it's 12 CPUs. So we have altogether 24 CPUs versus before we had, six separate hosts plus the rack setup. So we were using more CPU licenses than we were using now.
Sure. And that makes sense. I mean, you had rack previously, so going to another rack-like environment, I can see there being a cut over there that makes kind of parallel sense, if that makes any, if those words mean anything. Let's see.
In the meantime, I would like to encourage anyone else that has a question, please hit *6 to open your lines. Thank you.
I'm interested in
hello?
Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. This is Sandeep here. What I want is, would like to know, what is your source operating systems are before you move to ODA?
We were on the Oracle flavor of Linux.
Oh, okay.
we put,
Okay.
We were on the Oracle Linux, but it was older. You know, we haven't upgraded that. We haven't patched that in probably a year or two. So you know, this is really where our sort of you know, challenges were, because we were running on an outdated, you know, Linux. We had, you know, an older storage array. You know, our fiber switches were malfunctioning. We were seeing memory errors on the hosts themselves. So it was just an array of issues. And, you know, moving to ODA has definitely been sort of the one stop for us, where we don't have to deal with four different hardware vendors to deal with issues.
Okay, gotcha. And the next question is, I heard in your conversation that you migrated the data without any downtime.
That's correct.
To the ODA box.
Yep.
What is the approach you implemented? I mean,
we weren't using anything, you know, special or any sort of commercial tools. We were using Data Pump. As I said earlier, as I was describing earlier, you know, it took a little bit of effort on our side to make it work, because, you know, because it is an OLTP application and because it is a user-facing application, you know, with as I said earlier, about roughly 20 million OLTP queries a day, you know, somewhere between 100 and 500,000 users logging in into the system daily, we basically had to, you know, deal with deltas. So once we ran the first pass, we had to then, you know, run deltas on the data and then finally, you know, do a 5-minute delta and then switch over. Some of it Data Pump will do for you, but, you know, most of it you have to sort of figure out on your own, and you have to, you know, build into the application and sort of, So that was certainly an effort, but you know, we made it work.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Please hit *6 to open your line.
Yes, hi. Can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. My name is Bassam from TFO. My question is about backup and disaster recovery consideration for ODA.
Yep. So currently, the first ODA actually we had in house, we were running backups onto the ODA itself. You know, that's sort of the decision you have to make when you first set up the ODA. You know, the Oracle tells you that ODA is triple mirrored, so that data is fairly safe. But obviously, you know, for me, that's not an ideal scenario where you're actually backing up onto the ODA itself that you're using for the production system. So, you know, once we converted to the decision, though, you have to make when you're setting up the ODA. Currently, Oracle doesn't allow you to switch between the internal backup and then external backup. So, well, you can, right? But you can't reclaim the space that you allocated for backup when you were setting it up. So you have to make that decision sort of when you're setting the ODA. So now we have them configured so that the backups are going onto a separate device. You know, there's many ways, sort of, you know, depending on the level of, obviously, of you know, of security and sort of, you know, of type of data you're dealing with. You obviously probably want to have a, you know, offsite, you know, copy of the data. You can set up, just like with any other databases, you can set up data guard on, you could set up one ODA and then the second ODA as, you know, passive data guard onto it, so that you can switch over in case, you know, the ODA disappears or, you know, bursts in fire. You can have another ODA that has the complete set of data on out of the first ODA. So you could use commercial tools like the Golden Gate for you know, active replication. So I mean, it's really, I think, sort of up to you how you want it to work. I know that recently I got a note from our Oracle rep that the ODA now supports NFS mounted storage for data, so you can actually have data stored on NFS mounts as well. It doesn't work for us because it clearly, you know, limits the IOPS per second and sort of the unreliability of the NFS doesn't really, but for a warehousing application, you know, something that doesn't where you don't need the necessarily the performance of local storage, then that can be an option as well, of extending you know, storage. Does that answer your question? Do you have more questions?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes, it does. We're trying to leverage our existing tools,
mm-hmm.
like HP Data Protector, and
mm-hmm.
see if the integration really works between Data Protector and ODA.
Yeah, we're using Armin. You know, we're using Armin to set up our backups, to do archive logs, and we're doing them onto a separate, you know, backup device that we have locally on the network.
Okay, I see. Thanks.
Again, for questions, please hit *6 to open your line. Okay, Pio, it doesn't seem that we have any other questions. Again, thank you so much for hosting
Hello?
The call today. Oh, yes.
Hi, this is Carl with Allianz Life. I had a couple questions around maintenance and support. I know
yep.
that it's treated as an appliance, so I understand that some of the patches come as an appliance patch rather than a typical database patch. Is that correct? And how have those gone? Do they
yeah, so, so far we
quarterly
still...
patches or...?
Yeah, the patches we've received and we've applied patches three times now. They come in as OAK, as Oracle Database Appliance patches, and
okay.
there is a command line tool OAK that basically automates that. So you simply you kick off the patch process with that. The one thing that we sort of flagged and you know, Oracle is telling us that they're working on it is that patching requires downtime. So
okay.
during the patching process, the instance will go down for a couple of minutes, I think 10, 15 minutes. So that's
both
sort
instances?
Of one thing. What's that?
Both instances in the rack, or does it
yes.
roll between the...
Even both-
okay.
That's sort of like, we were like, really, you know, because it's sort of like when you're thinking about it, you know, we have a rack set up, so
mm-hmm.
you would expect to have, you know, for it to work in a rolling fashion. But so that's actually something that they're working on, that they're saying they're going to get to at some point where you will have, in if you have a rack set up, you will be able to do the patching in a rolling fashion.
About how long did the quarterly patch take?
It took, the whole process took about an hour.
Okay.
But it was processing, it was sort of, you know, going through all the steps, and then at the end it rebooted the, both instances. So I think the whole process was about an hour.
About, how much of it wasn't actually an outage? About an hour
right.
outage?
Right, so the outage was about 15 minutes, I think.
15.
It literally, it needed to boot reboot the boxes.
Okay. Did they mention whether if DataGuard was in place, that could be that would allow a rolling upgrade where you could switch over
I
to
think so.
DataGuard? Or
that's sort of something we are looking into. The way we're looking into it right now is that even though we have, you know, the sort of high availability because of the rack setup,
mm-hmm.
We are looking into essentially, because we have the two ODAs, and we have enough storage on each ODA to fit the whole application, but we don't want to fit the whole application onto one ODA because, yeah. You know, so what we're looking at right now is setting it up so that one ODA acts as a data, as a passive data guard for the other one for fit for half of the application, and then the other one is essentially a sister for that. So in that sense, you know, it would only work for passive, so it would only work for sort of, you know, there's still manual steps I think you have to take in order to resync the data back onto the old one. But anyway, I think, you know, with commercial tools like the Golden Gate, I think that would be much easier. But in any case, we're looking into options right now because we're interested in that as well, you know, minimizing the downtime.
Okay, and that patch to the OS and the database, or
right, so it patches. Right, it patches everything. It patches, you know, the OS level, and you know, so but so that's sort of where I think it's difficult for them to make it a rolling update, if, you know, because if it's an OS patch, you know, you sort of have to. But because the it's two separate nodes, you know, unless it's an actual patch to the storage layer, I think it's possible. You know? I think, you know, you. Because we've certainly taken down one of the nodes. We had some issues with the connection port, and we were able to take one node down. We started, you know, after an hour, the application didn't even see a blip. So the other node is able to take over, and you know, the storage is a separate sort of layer.
Yeah. Okay. Then I had a question on, I don't know how your organization is laid out. Did this change how you support? Because in a lot of typical organizations, you'd have a storage team, you have a DBA, and then you have Unix admins. Did a lot of those roles kind of collapse into the DBA team, or do you still have multiple roles still administrating the ODA?
Yeah, so, you know, we're sort of moving. We have other hardware, you know, we still have, you know, hundreds of web servers. So those need to be supported on the, you know, sysadmin level. But, you know, our sort of, you know, level of effort on, as far as supporting the storage layer has definitely, you know, come down basically to zero. I mean, we literally don't have to worry about storage anymore. We don't have to worry about, you know, the vendor supporting the storage, the vendor supporting the, you know, the fiber switches, because we had to use fiber switches for the bandwidth, to the storage. So that has definitely come down, you know, and the DBA, I mean, It does, you know, lower your sort of needs for a DBA. You know, it doesn't take the need for DBA completely out. You know, because essentially in the end, it's just like any other Oracle.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to
change the role of the Unix admin much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Unix admin. Right. That's sort of the you know, you don't, you know, with, I don't know if you have experience with RAC, but
yeah, I've RAC.
Right,
yeah,
so that
right.
It takes quite a bit to get the thing set up and sort of set up in an optimal fashion as far as the storage layer, as far as the Unix layer, and so on.
Now, have you had any experience with any hardware failures and how that model, that process has worked with Oracle?
So they actually had an issue with the ODAs right when we purchased it in you know, end of January, beginning February. They had a issue with the storage layer, but that was fixed, and that was, you know, fixed with a patch. So basically what would happen is one of the disks would fail and it would take out the whole storage, but they addressed that with a BIOS fix. Apparently there was some issue with increasing queue in how you interact with the disks, fixed that issue. Since February, you know, we haven't had a single issue, you know, basically. We haven't had a hardware issue since February.
Under no disks have failed or nothing has been really needed.
We haven't, right. We haven't had any failures as far as disks. We haven't had any failures, memory failures or anything like that. The latest patch that came out in July actually had a, and again, I haven't tested it because we haven't had an issue, but it had a full sort of integration with the ASR, so the automatic SR mechanism. So basically what it does is or so I'm told, what it does is when there's a hardware failure, it will automatically file an SR with Oracle, and, you know, so if there's a disk failure, it will automatically file that failure, and then the technician from Oracle will come out and you know, and service the machine.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, I hear a lot about how easy it is to install, but I haven't heard a lot of, you know, in the field stories of how the patches go and how, you know, the ongoing interaction. Have you filed many tickets with Oracle for other database issues, and have those been easier because you are on ODA because they know the hardware, or?
No, the only issue we had was that storage issue, and that we obviously filed an SR for that, and, you know, they acknowledged that issue, and they released a fix, you know, with the next patch, and, you know, so since then, we haven't had to file an SR, so unfortunately, I can't, you know, I can't tell you how the experience is because I haven't actually had to interact.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good, but it's also good sometimes to test the actual.
No, yeah. And it sounds like the storage stuff was caught early on, probably before you went into production, or was it?
We actually had a small piece of the application in production already. It wasn't critical, but it was, you know, it was something that we were like, okay, we gotta sort of, you know, take a step back, and then, you know, Oracle was very, they actually, you know, had the ODA team with us on a call right away on Saturday. You know, they actually pulled in people from the ODA team. So, you know, it's a high visibility product for them. So I think they were really trying to get on top of the issue as quickly as possible. So.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I haven't heard a lot about, you know, that side of it either, how the ODA team responds to stuff. I know on the Exadata side, that Oracle has Premier support where, you know, they have guaranteed SLAs around, you know, response within 15 minutes, some kind of resolution within 30, or escalated to development, I think, within an hour. ODA, I don't expect quite that level of aggressive support, but I was just kind of wondering, you know, it sounds like your experience was rather expedient, and that was next day or same day, or kind of how did that play out?
Yeah, no, they the database was down, and they literally had the team on the call with me, you know, in 15 minutes. I don't know how they pulled those people in, but they had the people right away, and they told us just reboot the whole thing. We're aware of an issue, and we're getting it fixed. So we essentially restarted the whole thing from scratch. So our downtime was maybe 45 minutes. And then we applied the patch, you know, in the next cycle, and then since then we haven't had an issue.
Okay, how soon was that resolution? You say so on Saturday recycled it, and they applied it. They gave you a patch a day later, or same day, or?
No, well, it was I can't remember the details, but it was fairly quick. It was within the patch was within no later than a week.
Okay.
And you know, there was probably a patch available, but the sort of, you know, you could probably apply an Oracle patch, but they, I wanted to wait for the ODA, you know,
ODA certified or ODA validated.
Right.
So, okay, good. I mean, it took you down, but it you weren't down until they gave you the patch, so
Right. This was an issue that, from what I was told, this was an issue that they were trying to track for a while, and it was a sort of, you know, one of those teething problems where it's hard to track down
Okay. Good. So I think you've answered most of my questions. What I was kind of interested in learning more about, but you haven't had much experience with ZFS. It sounds like you just kind of your needs fit with inside the box right now, right?
Right. We have ZFS on the also on the backup storage, and we mount the backup storage via NFS, and we dump the backups and archive logs. We do level zero once a week and level one every day, and then archive logs every 3 hours.
Okay.
So yeah. So I think, you know, it's sort of how you have to figure out how you want it to work, right? I mean, there's the sort of out-of-the-box setup, but then, you know, you make some decisions as far as DR, you know, disaster recovery. And
a lot of that doesn't really change from what you may already have in place. Because you still back it up the same, you still DR kind of the same.
Yeah, I mean, to us, Rudy, it's just like our rack, you know. We had portion of the site, portion of the application running on the rack, and at this point, you know, we have it running on the ODA, and instead of occupying two full cages of equipment, we are down to a quarter of the cage, a quarter of one rack. Mm-hmm. So the power usage has come down as well. I mean, instead of using, I think, 40 or 50 or 60 amps across the thing, we're using 20 amps.
Okay.
So, and then performance is better than it was. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to sort of pick a best side of it.
Good. You're running the same size of rack clusters, or were you able to shrink your clusters because of the number of cores in these? Are about the same for your
nodes? We had three nodes on the old rack, and now it's two nodes.
Okay.
But each node has, you know, 12 CPUs. So, I'm sorry, 6 CPUs, 12 cores each node. So, I mean, we're seeing better performance, you know, just from looking at the load and looking at the IOs and the fact that it's, you know, 96 gigs of memory on each node, versus, you know, we had only 32 gigs of memory on each node on the rack cluster, the old rack cluster. So, from that perspective, you know, there's really no there's no comparison. You know, more memory, faster I/O. You know, it makes a difference. I mean, it's essentially local storage versus going over network and SAN.
There's certainty. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, final call for questions. Hit star 6. I think that may be it, Pio. Thank you so much for your time today. I think this was a great call. I hope it was beneficial to everyone that dialed in today.
Yeah, not a problem.
This concludes the reference forum. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.